Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Rad Reality Show. That's right. You found the place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time. But let's kick it off with our theme song.
You need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m., Thursday and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome to the Rad Reality Show, and if you want to be part of the talk, the best way to do it is to call in. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation. You know, interact with us and have fun. I want you guys to know the number to call in. It's 347-237-5506. So we want to hear from you. The show is for you guys.
Hi, everyone. Let's talk some reality TV because it's time for the Reality Roundtable Show on the Rad Reality Show Network. I can't believe it, but it's already May 1st, 2014. I'm Cherry Garcia. Hosting with me tonight is Paul from Minnesota. We're ready to talk reality TV tonight, but first, excuse me, I have to say congrats to Paul from Minnesota. He already knows what I'm talking about. For his Minnesota Wild, they pulled off a win last night, and they're moving forward in the NHL chase for the Stanley Cup. Congratulations, Paul. I know you must be excited.
Oh, thank you, Cherry. It's all I can do not to break out and scream and act silly. But listen, anybody that follows sports and hockey and playoffs, you know, in baseball and NBA and also in hockey in the playoffs, there are the best of seven, and game sevens are a special, special experience. And last night's was a game seven in Colorado, and it was an awesome game that went into overtime, and it was – the whole game was so exciting because Colorado went up 1-0, the Wild tied it. Colorado went up 2-1. The Wild tied it. Colorado went up 3-2. The Wild tied it. I got to talk faster. Then we went up 4-4. Then Colorado went up 4-3. And with 2.5 minutes left in regulation, Minnesota tied it. It was at the point, Cherry, where I was watching or listening to whether they were going to pull our goalie or not. You know, it was getting to that point in time. And then we go into overtime, and there were some scary moments that Colorado was by our goal, and with 5 minutes into overtime, we won. We scored the winning goal. And, I mean, it was just one of those constant, nail-biting, exciting games where – I didn't dare hope that it would turn out this way. You know, I didn't want to be disappointed, but it was very special. And I'm sorry you're not enjoying the same feeling I am, because I know you would love – it would be so awesome for the Wild and the Blues to be facing off next. And who knows what we would have said to each other.
Well,
we'll have to wait till
you'll be
next
facing
year to
Chi-Town see. Joe's team.
I and, know. The Blackhawks.
They've got some resolve, I'll tell you that.
Well, and we don't have
that much time.
We're facing them right away tomorrow night. I mean, I was hoping for an extra day and made you know, that Saturday would be the first game. But, well, we're starting it off right away and in Chicago on tomorrow night, Friday night, 8:30 Central Time. And I'm really hopeful. That's who we faced in the first round last year, and we won only one game. We lost the series 4-1, and I think we're different and better team than we were last year, so I'm hoping for a better outcome. So
that's
time will tell,
for.
But it is awfully exciting, and I thank you for giving me the floor and the recognition that you know I'm feeling right now.
Well, I know it's exciting. And there's our Phil coming in the chat room. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil. Have you built your ark yet? I've been seeing all these weather reports of areas that are getting so much rain and flooding, and Virginia was one of the states where we were seeing reports of a lot of flooding going on. And I was thinking about you, Phil. Hope everything is staying relatively dry for you, but it's been crazy. I mean, we haven't gotten that kind of weather here. I mean, we've had our normal chilly weather and rainy. I think we've had 14 out of 17 days of rain. They even brought on, this is funny, one of the local weather reports brought on a meteorologist of the sister station in Seattle. And she was going to come on and give us advice of how we can, you know, deal with the rainy weather. And the camera came on, and she's standing in beautiful sunshine. And she says, I'm really feeling kind of guilty, you know, for you guys. But, boy, I mean, Pensacola that had 22 inches in 24 hours or something like that. And even New York City, I think, had 5 inches of rain in a day. I mean, it's just this storm has just dropped such a lot of rain and caused so many problems.
Some of the tornadoes.
And the tornadoes to begin with, yeah. Certainly the tornadoes were the first awful.
Just below us down in Arkansas, some terrible tornadoes. You know, and it's just such destruction, and it's so sad. I saw one report. I mean, this was a big home, too, and the people had just been in their home for 4 months. They were just, you know, just still working on finishing their brand-new home. And he was also an automobile collector. He collected antique automobiles. He had something like a 1930-something Chevy sitting out, and it was just destroyed. He had lumber going through it, and all the windows broken, and looked like it had been rolled a couple times. And it was just destroyed. And other antique cars that were just demolished. And his whole home, they had built a safe room in their home. And they had 10 people in that safe room. I guess other people from the neighborhood had come in and joined them in their safe room. And the wife actually sort of almost joked about it. And she said, well, you never know if something's going to work until you try it. And we did. And the husband said, the last thing I remember is hearing the roof leave. And the reporter said, you actually heard the roof leaving? And he said, yes, sir, I did. And I couldn't imagine building a brand new home after what, you know, Rich and I had gone through, you know, looking at rebuilding a new home or buying a home, or, you know, we've just been through so much with everything. And you know, having a new home built and going through everything you go through to pick out everything and have it, you know, put in. And even though we bought a home that was already here, we installed flooring and had it painted and had new countertops put in and had, you know, a lot done
to
this house before we moved in.
You did
and
a
just
lot
going
of
through that process.
Stuff.
Yeah, just
yep.
going through that process, I can't imagine actually building a home from the ground up and then, you know, still working on it. You know, but they had just moved in and then have a tornado come along and just rip it all away.
Yeah.
But thank God they were all safe, and it was because of the safe room they built. The resolve of those people, and the reporters were talking about the resolve and resilience. They said that they planned on rebuilding right there, and they planned on having it done by Thanksgiving and being thankful for being back by Thanksgiving. That was
yeah.
their plan. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I would have
yeah.
it in me.
That's a really great attitude to have. I pray to God that I never experience tornadoes. It's just such devastation, complete devastation, you know.
It is. It's so scary. And, you know, there's been many right around here. We're certainly in an area where they hit all around us all the time.
Oh, me too.
And I'm thankful I have a basement, you know, but that doesn't take you out of the possibility of, you know, devastation or injury. Having a basement helps, but they hit around here all the time. And Missouri and Kansas, Arkansas, this area is just known for them. And that's probably our biggest fear is tornadoes, although we are also on the New Madrid Fault.
The Mississippi.
That's another thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And so there's also flooding and the possibility. There's also the threat. They've always talked about the big earthquake that's the possibility of happening here at some point. But you can't sit around and think about what if and, you know, where to live, you know.
No.
Those things, there's natural disasters everywhere. And we are on the New Madrid Fault, and they say if it happens, New Madrid, Missouri is south of here, probably 140 miles maybe. But they say that if it hits, St. Louis will be demolished.
Wow.
But, I mean, again, like they say, you can't, that happened, the big one that started in New Madrid Fault was many, 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 many years ago. And you can't plan your life around where fault lines are. And, you know, you just can't. You live your life in a bubble.
No, I mean, there's certainly those natural type of disasters that can be devastating, but there's any number of other things that can happen. You know, you occasionally see some person with a medical emergency or drunk that veers off the road and smashes into a house. I mean, how can you even plan on something like that? You know,
right. I mean, there's every kind of possibility in the world. If it's your time, God calls your number, it's your time.
That's right.
You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. So we love it in Missouri. It's a place where you get all four seasons quite fully. We get a full winter, a full summer, and, you know.
That, you know, sometimes people, not only is Minneapolis got all sorts of other amenities and wonderful things, and people that live here come to love it regardless of the weather, but that's the thing as far as the seasons that I really have to have. I mean, I have lived in a lot of other places when I was in the Army, and for a while my parents lived down in the Orlando area and visiting there. I need to have four seasons. It just is the way, you know, that I grew up and that I enjoy. I mean, you live through a winter time, you enjoy spring and summer even that much more. And the places that are always warm, summertime is unbearable. You know, I mean, I would rather have winter than some of these, you know, month, 2 month, 3 month long 100 degree weathers like, you know, they have down in the Phoenix area or something like that. I just, you know.
I don't know. The older I get, the more I think I could take it. I could go for that. But, well, let's start talking some reality.
Yes. And before we do, I want to bring up one thing because you know that I haven't been watching it, but I know that you have. And I've got a question for you about The Voice, if I can start off with that. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. And I keep saying I'm recording every single episode, and I keep wanting to watch it, and I swear I'm going to catch up, but it always seems like I'm prioritizing and watching other things first. But because we've got a Minneapolis girl that's doing really well this year, I occasionally see reports on our local news, and I just stumbled across this today. And it said that Kat Perkins was saved by Twitter, and I thought I got to ask Cherry what the heck that meant. What I don't understand? How was she saved by Twitter? Explain that to me.
Okay, they're doing it a little bit different this year. They're bringing out the final people, like they were down to the final 10, I believe. They count down to the final three. And the final three, it goes to a Twitter vote. And people on Twitter have 5 minutes to vote by entering hashtag The Voice Save and their name. And in that 5 minutes, whoever gets the most votes on Twitter gets an automatic save. And the final two go home.
Okay. But do they not have, like, from years past, I remember that they said, okay, it's time to vote, and people vote by computer and telephone and everything, and they get the results in the next episode. So this is, they're still doing those kind of votes, but this is an extra one?
No, they're not actually doing the other type of vote this year. Doing the Twitter save this year.
Really? Okay.
It's much quicker. Now, I believe when they get down to the finals, just a little bit later, they might be doing the voting where the public will vote. They've changed the whole formula this year. The whole formula of The Voice changed this year completely. So,
yeah. See, that's why I continue to record and I continue wanting to watch, and I think, okay, when I finally get ready to watch, I'm going to pick up where, like, the battle round, I don't know, whatever, you know.
I like the formula this year.
Now,
and they announce the two new guests or the two new judges. And I don't
Jerry,
know
stop
if,
it.
If somebody
stop
else knows.
Stop reading my mind. I am so upset when you do that. I was just about to ask you what your opinion was of the new judges, Gwen and and Farrell or whatever his name is. Holy crap. It was just ready to come out of my mouth and you bring it up. I swear to God, you are going to find a way to block you so you can't read my thoughts. Is there any antivirus things that I can use to block your reading my mind?
Well,
anyway.
You would have to share it with me because you do the same to me. So.
That's true. Okay, so anyway, the report for those people that are not picking up on everything we're saying is they're having, in addition to the standard of Blake Shelton and Adam Levine, the next season is going to have two new, or what do they call them, coaches, judges? Go ahead.
They're coaches. And I know that CeeLo is not going to be on. So I know that Gwen Stefani or Farrell will be replacing CeeLo. I don't know who the other judge or coach is going to be replacing. I don't know which other coach is not coming back.
Well, see, the reason I stumbled on this is I was watching a local news report today here in Minneapolis, and the segment on the news was talking about various things, and one was a YouTube video of a high school senior in Austin, Minnesota that I did post on my Facebook wall that was absolutely amazing. And as I typed in her name and et cetera, I stumbled across a report that may have just been breaking today, and it said Gwen Stefani and Farrell, whatever his last name is, along with Blake and Adam, are going to be the new judges in the next season, and Christina will return in the following season, but they did not mention. So it sounds like that's the four that is being reported for the next season, because they have two seasons a year, right?
Right. So, because I had heard that Christina was coming back, and that's why I was confused.
Well, the report I saw was saying, you know, the season after the next one, that she'd be back. They've been doing that for like three years, but at least about four seasons.
Yeah.
The middle two.
I love the group that they have in right now. Where they have Blake and Adam and Usher and
Shakira.
This group right here is
your
my
favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I wonder if it's just that they are too busy to do it every 6 months or whatever it would be, you know.
Well, I think Christina is actually, she was part of the original group that formed the Voice, and I think she's always going to be part of it.
Like
always
a producer?
Have a mark on it. Right. Well, yeah, I think probably something like that. Or she's always going to have her mark on it unless she wants to step out. Usher and Shakira were brought in sort of as fill-ins because Christina, I think, wanted to take a break and CeeLo wanted to take a break. So Usher and Shakira were brought in sort of as fill-ins.
What great choices those two are, though, for fill-ins.
Oh, I know. I know. And people have fallen in love with this combination of judges. And it's not that I don't like Christina, but she just focuses so much on herself. You know, when she makes comments about the contestants, it's always compared back to her. It's always about her, you know.
Yeah.
she just focuses so much about Christina, and when she talks, it's always, you know, she has to control the floor for, you know, 10 minutes and gives the guys, you know, 2 seconds. And just, I don't know. Shakira isn't that way. Usher is so polite and so giving of himself to the people that he coaches. He is amazing. Shakira just loves and adores anybody that she coaches. They're just so caring about the people that they have with them. And they just brought such a kindness to the show.
Yeah. Kind of Blake Shelton-like.
Yeah. And it's just such a wonderful, wonderful mixture of people on there right now. And I just love the group they have on there right now. They have, it's like the perfect recipe for a show right now. They have humor, they have the talent, they have the touching stories, the backstories, they have the family there with them. They have it all. They have all of those ingredients that you need for a really, really great show.
Right.
And
so it's
they've
down,
really hit it on everything.
It's down to, like, the final eight, I think I saw in the news report. Do you have – are there clear-cut front runners for you right now, or are all eight of them potential winners?
I don't think there is a clear-cut winner in the bunch right now. There's amazing talent on that stage. And there's talent from different genres of music.
Oh, good.
So it depends on, you know, voting from the different genres of music. Gonna shake out. I have no clue. I really don't. But there
you
is
know,
some incredible talent on that stage.
When you mentioned different genres, I remember a few seasons back where, and he made it pretty far, where they had a guy that was, his background was an opera singer. Remember that guy? I mean,
yes.
I never thought you'd see that guy go a long way, and he really did. He was phenomenal. Now, what's the, roughly, if you don't know exactly, but what's the rough breakdown in the number of the contestants for each of those four judges or coaches left? Are any of them down to a single person yet, or?
Yes, both Shakira and Usher are down to just one. And then Blake and I think it's going to be Blake or Adam that wins again this year.
Okay. I'm curious.
One of the contestants that went home last night actually sang at April's event at Reality Rescue.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. She's been voting for her on Twitter, and her name was Bria Kelly.
Bria Kelly. I remember watching the videos from that event, and they did cover it when Superpass was out there. And I remember watching some of those performances, but I'm trying to recall if I remember.
She's a real tiny little blonde girl. I mean, real tiny. Long, straight blonde hair. But she's
Which
got a
team
voice.
Is she on?
That she was on Usher's team. She was amazing, but you know, there's just such amazing talent right now.
Talent. I was just going to say that's the problem when you have so much talent and you get down to these, you know, the final half dozen or eight or nine was on the last one. It, you know, everybody leaving.
There's a woman on there that's in her 40s.
Really? Still in it?
Yes. And she is incredible. I mean, this woman, she took 10 years off or longer out of the music business to raise three kids. Or I think we would have heard her on the radio a long time ago. This woman is incredible. She's got pipes that just don't quit. I mean, she was incredible. She still is. I mean, she's still in it. And
in the past, they've also had duos. Did they have any duos that went far?
They did have a couple of duos. They didn't make it too far. You know, they made it into the battle rounds, but they didn't make it real far. But they did have a couple of good duos. So it's going to be interesting to see how this voice shakes out because, like I said, there's such good talent. Their voices are all so good. And it's just going to depend on the genre that wins over. Like, there's a country guy right now. This guy, he sounds like your classic country singer.
Okay.
And
is he on Blake's team?
He's on Blake's. And he is, like, the most down-to-earth, funniest guy. He's got that dry, funny sense of humor. And everybody loves him. He could win a popularity contest in a heartbeat because he's just really down to earth, very honest, very dry, funny sense of humor. And I think if it was just like a Twitter popularity poll, he's going to take it because everybody loves him. There again, though, if it comes down to song choice, if they get one wrong song
choice,
you're
reading my mind
again. It could take them out of the contest. You know, this is just such a – they're all about even right now. And so song choice, all that could –
I was just going to bring up
Phil, Jake.
Jake, okay, thanks, Phil. I was just going to bring up when you talked about, you know, popularity and humor, and I was just about to say, but it always is so important, comes down to song choices, and that's why I kind of piped it in because you read my freaking mind again. It really is important. Song choices, as far as votes and everything like that, I mean, it's just huge. And I don't know to what extent that the coaches help picking those songs or, you know, I know sometimes they do and sometimes it's the artist that decides I really want to do this song. But song choice to me in these kind of competitions really is the most important.
Yep, that is. It really makes a huge difference when, you know, they're this far in the competition and they pick one wrong song and it could really take them out. So we'll see, you know, what happens.
Well, anyway,
like I said, they're so even.
Yeah. I just wanted to check in with you because I know you watch the show and find out about, you know, what was going on and certainly my Minnesota girl, and you know, I'm a homie for that, you know, but
she's a rocker.
What? Yes, but what? But she does. Has she done other things other than rock songs? I had the feeling that she probably can handle other genre. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. I have to mention this person's name, and you can certainly find the video on my Facebook wall. But this girl is, she's actually 18 now. I think I thought she was 17, but her name is Molly Kate, and she is, she wrote and sang her own song, and it just, it's such an emotional song. You have to listen to the whole story. It's called His Daughter, and I was reading about it, and she basically shot the video, her dad said, with a cracked iPhone camera and an out-of-tune piano. And it's just an amazing, inspirational song. And for whatever reason, somebody was able to, and she just posted it on the 20th or something like that, just after Easter, and it already, and I haven't checked before the show, but it was already over 1.5 million views, and she basically, she comes from a relatively large family. She's one of 7 children. Her mom is one of 10 in her family, so she's got like 30 first cousins, and she's a singer, has been, and she basically had a YouTube channel that she would just post YouTubes of her singing songs to keep her family up to date, you know, with some of her songs. It was never intended to be anything bigger than that, and would get, you know, maybe 100 hits, at most 1,000 hits. But somebody sent this video when she did this song. She wrote it about a year ago, but didn't want to put it on YouTube until she performed it for her high school senior solo day. And once she posted it, somebody sent it to Star Trek's George Takei, and he put it on his Facebook wall, and it from there just exploded. She's been getting calls from all over the country to, you know, talk about it, even around the world and things like that. And it's
one of the girls on The Voice was a YouTube wonder, basically. That's all she had ever done was post videos to YouTube. And now she's on The Voice. And
I guess ever since Bieber, you know, that's kind of how he gained his fame, that there's a lot of people doing that. And when you stumble across these awesome videos, you really see what talent is out there. And how old is this one on The Voice?
She's fairly young, but she's amazing. I think it was this past week. She was the first one chosen from the vote. So people do vote, do their singing. They do their songs. People do vote originally to place them in their order. But then when they get down to those final three is when it goes to the Twitter vote. So
okay,
people still
okay,
vote on
it. Well, let's say there's 9 contestants. They say, okay, these 6 are safe, and then they go to the Twitter vote for the bottom 3?
Right.
Ah.
So people still vote for their favorite ones and put them in the order that they're going to be saved in. And then the last 3 will go to the Twitter vote, and the one that gets saved by Twitter stays, and the last 2 go home. So
okay. They
only get 5 minutes on Twitter to vote. And, of course, their coach is, during that 5 minutes, is pleading to the audience, you know, please save my you know, my contestant, and they show you on the screen, even during the commercials, like, you know, they'll show each coach pleading for their contestant, and then they'll go to a commercial break, and even during the commercial, all the commercials, there's a little border at the bottom that's showing you the live results on Twitter throughout all the commercials, and through the entire 5 minutes, you get to see the live Twitter results until they actually bring them back out and give you the results, you know, or give them the results, because we actually see them live on the banner at the bottom. So we get to see, you know, what's going on Twitter as it's going on. We get to see the results, you know, and the polls that's going up and down, and who's the front runner, and it's usually sort of a landslide for one, and then, you know, you kind of know who's going to get saved. And Kat was definitely the landslide winner this week. Yeah, she ran away with it, and she deserved it. I don't know why she was at the bottom this week at all. She shouldn't have been there. But hopefully she will not be there again. She's on Adam's team. So.
Yeah, I when I first saw that she had made it, she's been on his team the whole way. There's been no swaps or anything?
Pardon me?
There's been no steals, I should say, with her.
I don't know. I don't think she was stolen. I don't believe. I think she's been on his team all along. She is definitely a fantastic singer. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you were going to say something about my girl, so I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
She's got the ability to sing like Heart and any female singer. I mean, any female singer, she can just bring it. And that girl has pipes that don't quit. And why she was on the bottom three this week, I have no idea. But that he said, you know, it's normally when somebody is on the bottom three, it's been sort of the rule of thumb that the following week they go home. And he said, I'm going to promise you that if you save Kat this week, we're going to break that. And she's going to go all the way if you save her this week. And so he's got some big promises.
Were you surprised? Were you surprised when she was in the bottom three, or did you say it was because of a bad song? Or
oh, I was shocked that she was in the bottom three.
Okay,
I think everybody was.
I also saw, and I'm recording these too with hopes that I'll get back to it, that it's down to like only the final five or whatever in American Idol. I'm curious, you know, standout singer coming down to this final five, and I'm hoping maybe one of our chatters might be watching it and tell me, because I'm also out of the loop there. But anyway, we just finished talking about a show that I have been watching, and it was certainly easy to get you to talk about it and help me to understand what's going on too. But certainly the show we normally highlight on Thursday night is Survivor.
Survivor. OMG. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of amazed at how this game is sort of falling in the hands of one.
I know. I mean, if he didn't have Tony, sometimes I'm so impressed by what he's doing, and other times I feel like he's really digging himself a hole. And then after I feel that, I think now he's back on top again. But if he didn't have some of these idols that he's had, he's the type of player, I think, that other people would rally around to get him out, you know, just because he is kind of running things. He does have that personality that can rub people the wrong way, you know, but holy crap, is he afflicted by the paranoia bug. And that Spencer is so good. He's pick up on that and to use that as a weakness of his is that's why I really like Spencer. But I still like Tony. It's really hard. And how can you not be impressed by Tasha? Holy crap, girl.
I'm telling you.
That would be my kind of underdog favorite if she went all the way and won it. I would be so happy.
Three immunity idols or immunity necklaces in a row. Three in a row is hard. That girl can put her focus on when she needs to. And win a challenge, when the pressure is on her, that girl impresses me like no other. I mean, amazing. That girl, I don't want to say.
I'm sorry. How can we get out of this, Jinx? Let's see. Change the subject, Paul.
I'm rooting for... Woo.
I am impressed by how well she is, not only, you know, her immunity challenges, but also her strategic play. And you know, she's kind of, you got to wonder if she and Spencer are kind of talking and coming up with these plans, because this last episode, she was working to get this image of possible all-girls alliance. And Spencer was working to try to get Tony to picture this all-girls alliance, you know. And I just wonder if they're actually working together, Spencer and Tasha, because you don't see them in the edits together that often, but they seem to have similar strategies, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they have to be working together because they're the only two on the outside of the, you know,
right,
the main alliance. They have to be together by process of elimination. I mean, they're the only two on the outside of that main alliance, and if they don't work together, they have no one.
Yeah. It's a very weak alliance at this point, though.
Yeah. And now that Tony has flipped on everybody again, we see on the previews of next week, they're all fed up with him, you know, not telling them what he's going to do. And I think they're all ready to flip on him, but he's sitting with two idols now. One with the magical powers that he can play after the vote, and another regular idol. So even though they're all pissed off at him, so what?
Well, you do.
He really shouldn't even care.
Yeah, he is so powerful, and that's why I'm saying if he didn't have those, he certainly would be a huge target, and it sounds like, you know, they're going to try to, you know, target him again. And we got a peek of Wu on the walking on the beach that sounded like he was ready to turn on his number one alliance. So
I mean, Tony can play Richard Hatch now, take off all his clothes, walk around with you know, just naked, and tell him to kiss his ass now. Because he's sitting on those two idols, and he really doesn't have a care in the world right now.
I also, speaking of the idols, I also, we got to hear from Cass at the beginning of the show how she kind of, before the last, the previous tribal, noticed Spencer in the way he was acting, that he seemed too comfortable.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty good on her part. She, Cass is smart, and but I don't, it, she, I have strange
it's
feelings
frustrating
about
it sometimes. Yeah.
Yes. But she definitely was able to pick up on Spencer's attitude to get everybody to vote, you know, for LJ and flush out Spencer's idol. And
she reads people
was,
very well. She
yes,
just doesn't.
Yes.
Her social skills are, she does read people very well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week when they're all up in arms with Tony. And, you know, he's got these two idols, how he's going to play it. Because, you know, they know he has one. So, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah. So that was a, as the Survivor auctions go, that was one of the strangest auctions that I have ever witnessed. You know, I mean, so many people not bidding, and how cheap those that did bid got the food for, it was so odd. And then I was, for once, I was a little disappointed, you know, that, that Tasha didn't stay in it, you know, for the advantage. You know, I don't know what her thoughts were behind it, whether she thought, well, if there's three of us going for it, you know, what are my chances? Maybe I'll bow out and hope that there'll be some more food. But I don't think there's ever been
I think
been
she thought there was
going
to be more food.
I don't
and
remember.
And then close the auction down.
If, right, but I don't remember in any past auctions where the advantage hasn't been the last thing. I don't know if there's ever been food offered after an auction, after an advantage has been out there. So that was weird. Now, what are, do they get to keep if they have, does Sasha get to keep her $500?
I would imagine that she'll, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. In all actuality, I would think maybe she would get to keep that as like maybe a memento of the show or something. Whether they'll take that away from her, I would think that, you know, she'd get to keep that sort of as part of her, her, you know, bag of items, you know, that she takes
yeah.
home with her. That would be my guess. But I don't know. We'll see.
The other thing I wrote down that I thought was kind of a funny moment is when Jeff and Wu went back and forth over his barbecue ribs. I wrote down
and
it almost sounded
music.
Like it sounded like porno music or something.
I
don't
know.
It was her.
It did sound like porn music.
Oh, it was hilarious. Oh.
I know you haven't watched True Tory, but I invited Yaya to join us tonight
Well, I don't see her on the switchboard, so hurry up, girl.
Well,
I just,
I'm
while we're
be
waiting,
adding her on my phone.
Oh. So you're going to leave me alone talking to myself for a short bit, huh? Are you already gone? Well, this was not, if you ever want some of that music, I'm not.
Oh. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
We
Jerry,
have.
Don't do that to me. Jerry, hi, Yaya. Jerry, you. It was like all of a sudden, I figured it was going to happen, but I was all by myself, and I was like, yeah, dude, what do I say now?
I have to pay for my long distance.
I don't have any problem with that. It was just that we could have maybe played a clip or something. So I didn't have to stumble over my words.
I didn't know that it would take my voice away when I went to connect her.
Okay.
So I was trying to talk
honey.
To you.
Well, now we know, and
yep.
Now you know for future reference.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that.
We've never had to call out to connect somebody before. So
that's the way I look at it too, girl. I did see on a news report or on The View or, you know, one of these shows that apparently the word was out that she, and this wasn't part of her show, but I'm sure you guys saw this, that she actually was hospitalized for like 6 days. Did you guys see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
The stuff that's on the, there's been two episodes thus far. And this is, like, around Christmas time. It's just right after Christmas. So, you know, obviously the stuff that's happening now that we're seeing on the news now, this is months after what's happened on the episode that we're going to talk about. But a lot of speculation about, you know, all of that. So are we going to cover how far are we going to go here, Cherry?
Well, I
go all the
when
way,
you
girl.
Told me that you got to... When you told me that you got to see episode one,
yeah,
2 days ago on the phone, I bit my tongue. I wanted instantly to ask you, what did you think? But I didn't because I wanted to get your reaction on air. So
I felt bad for her. I just felt, I mean, like a lot of people, there's several reasons I feel bad for her. The first one is that her husband freaking cheated on her in one of the most public ways possible. This isn't something that you can just suck up and say we're going to work through it because everybody, you know, everybody has an opinion. And if and she's going to be ridiculed for going into seclusion and working it out privately, or she's going to be ridiculed for putting it on air, which her whole life since childhood has been on air. So this is normal for her. But this is, like, who in their life wants to go through this? And no matter what she does, she's going to be judged and ridiculed for it. She knows that that's what's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? It's like no matter what she's doing to work on her marriage, she knows that there's an entire universe just chomping at the bit to judge her for it.
Yeah. And
I mean,
so
like,
my question to you is, there are so many people out there who are trying to say that they possibly dreamed all this up so they could do this show for money.
Right.
Now,
her on 90210, I have seen her acting abilities, and I'm telling you, she's not that good an actress.
Who would
talking about her heart melting into a puddle of this just repulsive, vile pain, that's not acting.
No, there's nothing about this that is acting.
She's she's not that good an actress.
And Joe, what a good question, Joe. I wonder how Adam feels about this too, because Adam Pock loves Tori.
I know.
And I wonder if he's watching. I would love to have Adam come on and join us.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great?
Let's see if we can get Adam to come on and talk to us about True Tori.
Even if this wasn't about True Tori, I would love to just talk to Adam Pock anyway. My son, during his Big Brother season, I have a picture, and I'll tag you in it on Facebook. He's got the hard rock, the pinky and the index finger up, and he's growling. I'm like, we were just outside. I'm like, take a picture, and he goes, bacon.
Aww.
So, came from Adam Pock, and my boy was, I think, maybe 3 at the time.
Aww.
So,
I love Adam.
Me too.
And I would love to know what he's, thinking about all this, because he's such a Tori Spelling fan.
You know,
but
he's watching it, and now that he's married, he's coming at it with that perspective too.
Yeah.
As a married man. So, yeah, this could be epic.
When she first opened the show, episode 1, and
yeah,
she's
on the
sitting
couch,
there on the couch, yeah, pouring her heart out. I mean, I could tell at that very moment that this was real. This was not something made up. This was not something they just did for, a continuing reality show. This was real. And it was, this is one of the most heartfelt, raw, emotional reality shows I have ever witnessed. I mean, this is down to the core.
I know.
I mean, this is real stuff. And
I kind of know it's not scripted, because sometimes she just kind of like, when you're just devastated, you just don't have the words, and you just kind of like shake your head and roll your eyes, and like no words come. There's no word adequate enough to express the depth.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what's happening. So, she doesn't have writers in the background saying, I just feel bad for her that we're even having this conversation that, it's not scripted. I mean, like, cut her. The world just has to cut her some slack. It happened. Her husband cheated on her. Whether you would go on television to talk about it or not, that's not the point. The fact is that she is. I believe it. I see it on her face. I hear it in her words. You can see it in her children. Why would they keep the father away from the children if there wasn't a real reason to do so?
And for months, and her struggling so hard, she said in the 3 months that he's been away in treatment, she hasn't made it to school one day on time with her kids, because she struggles so hard in the morning to get all 4 children together, dressed, fed, and in the car, and to school on time by herself. She doesn't have maids and nannies and all that. She's doing this by herself, and not one day has she made it to school exactly on time since he's been in treatment. But she said, the headmaster of the school still tells her, you're such a good mommy, you're doing the best you can, and commends her on, what a good job she's doing. And, it shows the paparazzi following her everywhere she goes, with those kids.
And the baby was sick, and she had to, stop cleaning up vomit and say to the paparazzi, my child just got sick, could you please not film this?
Yes.
I mean, add everything to it. But did you get the point where she sends she's like, go into the pantry and see if we have any paper towels, and there were no paper towels. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
And get a roll of toilet paper.
Yes.
Done that. It wasn't even that was just such a natural mom thing to do. And you're just packing their lunches, making their sandwiches. It's not some little bento box with sushi and, they're real home. She's a real mom. And that's beautiful to see. And then when she sits down and she's like, I feel like, what did she say to her best friend? I feel like this is my crap life. I feel like my next life is gonna have to be better.
Yeah.
And when she said it, she didn't even realize it. She, you know, she's like, but I have my children. Like it was the depth of the pain that this is, that Dean, his affair caused, his deceit caused, is overshadowing like everything for this poor woman.
Can I ask you guys, how many episodes of this has aired?
Two.
Just two right now.
Okay, and certainly we did see before the series started, you know, clips of she and Dean at a counselor. How much in the first two episodes do we, are we even seeing Dean, or is he just going to make like a cameo for one episode or so?
Oh, no, he's there. And in the second episode.
So why would he, what is he benefiting? Is it financially, or why would he even be part of this show? Because,
he's just
exposing what an asshole he is.
We're going to get to that in just a minute.
Ooh, okay.
In the second episode, it starts with Tori saying, Dean and I married alone in Fiji.
They were on an island in Fiji. Yeah.
And that it shows a picture, and it says, there's Dean, size 14 feet, and it has a picture of just the feet of her and Liam and Dean. And it says, mm-hmm. there's Dean, size 14 feet. There's Liam's little baby feet. And she's going through this big box of photos, and she says, these photos make me think of love and hope. And Liam is getting ready to turn 7. And so she's going through this big box of photos, and that's the opening scene. And I'm trying to read my notes, and they're in pencil, so it's very difficult for me. It's kind of dark where I'm at right now. And so Tori's at an ice cream parlor with a single dad friend, and he's telling Tori, she's telling the friend that Dean is wanting to come home. And he's telling her that she hasn't shared any of her feelings with her friends. And she's thinking, you know, that everybody, all of her friends already knows because it's so public,
right,
that she doesn't realize that she hasn't really shared her feelings with her friends. She just thinks everybody already knows everything because it's in all the tabloids and everything. And she's finally realizing that she needs to talk to her friends. And he asked her on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how bad is this on you? And she says, it's an 11. And he says, you just said that without conviction. And
yes, it was like total deadpan, like no emotion behind that number. None.
Yeah. He's trying to explain to her that, you know, you've got to show some emotion and get some of this emotion out to your friends and let us help you. And so she starts realizing, you know, that she's really got to turn to her friends and start opening up and realizing some of her feelings and start getting to her feelings. So then it shows her taking the kids to a party store, and they're going to pick out things for Liam's party.
Minecraft.
Yes, Liam wants Minecraft stuff, and he's going to get a piñata. And he starts acting out in the store, and she's explaining to him that, you know, she doesn't like it when he acts like that.
Couldn't find anything Minecraft, and she was like, how about Minion? You used to like Minions, why don't you get Minion? And he's like, I want Minecraft. You said I could have Minecraft.
And she
like
talks
any
about
old, almost 7 year old, with cameras following them, and he hasn't seen his dad in 3 months, and you know, he's like, I don't want Minions. I want Minecraft. You said I could have what I want. And she's like, they don't have it. There's nothing. Like, again, she's helpless. Again, there's nothing this poor woman can do to even appease her son. And she's like, don't talk to me like that. It really hurts me when you talk like that. And
she talks about how close he and Dean always were, and that she just feels so helpless because Dean knew how to pull him out of that, you know, but Dean was always there, you know. Dean was the one that knew how to, you know, get him out of that kind of episode, you know. And Liam feels like it's her fault that Dean is away. And so they finally get a piñata, and as they're leaving the store, he asks for an ice cream, and Liam does tell her that he's sorry, and they leave the store, and the paparazzi's all there, and Liam is, like, yelling at the paparazzi and saying the paparazzi is bad, you know? You can tell.
He has a pinata stick, which in any six-year-old's mind, that's a weapon. That's like,
right.
You know, the ultimate, you know, Thor's hammer.
That's like a sword.
He's in that mode. So, you guys are bad. Get away from us.
Yeah, you can tell they're just getting fed up with the paparazzi following them.
Poor thing.
I know the poor kids. They don't understand.
They
but
would
then
have
we
that
see
if she wasn't doing this show, though.
Yeah. But I think it's worse. You know, the whole story is broke with Dean cheating. I think they're following her even more.
It's a negative. They're looking for something bad. Before it was just curiosity and, you know, little stalking.
So we finally see Tori at her psychiatrist or
therapist,
therapist office, Dr. Wexler. And she says she's been seeing this doctor since she was in her 20s. And she's talking to her about how she feels about the infidelity. And Tori says she doesn't know because she shoved it down so far. And the doctor tells her that she needs to dig in and see what it really feels like. She says, you had some evidence that Dean was capable of this. And
called her out, right?
Yeah. Tori explains, in her own words, that when her and Dean were both married when they got together, and she said that Dean basically,
he had her convinced that they just fell in love.
He convinced her to resist
that sort of thing.
That they were in love and they had met and they were soulmates. And that there was, you know, nothing that would ever break them apart. And I'm having trouble reading some of my notes here, so.
And she believed it wholeheartedly. I mean, like, she, up until the moment she saw his eyebrow twitch, did you cover that?
Yeah. Last week we talked about that,
Up until the moment she saw that eyebrow twitch, she was 100%, I mean, even more so, absolutely head over heels, committed and convinced this was soulmate love. Until that moment.
The doctor asked her how she would feel if Stella or Hattie became her, and Tori tears up. Tori says she never wants Stella or Hattie to become her. And the doctor told her there's only one way for you to avoid that, and that's to find your voice. And she talks about what a struggle it's been to find her voice all of her life. And the doctor said that they need to be there in sessions to set up ground rules before Dean comes home. And then we see Tori going to a meeting with moms from Stella's new school for coffee. And Tori is so nervous going to meet these three moms, and she needs friends. She needs somebody to sort of just, like, be mom friends that she can confide in and be there for. You know, she hasn't really turned to anybody about this and let her feelings out. So she's heading, you know, to this coffee shop to meet these three moms, and she says she's so grateful for these three gals that just want to be her friend for real, not because of who she is, you know, or for any other reason, not because she's Tori Spelling. They just want to be her friend, you know, because of her, you know, as a friend. And so she gets there, and the paparazzi's following her again. And she goes in, and one of the mom talks to her about a book they had read, and it mentioned something about if your husband ever had an affair, would you want to know? And she told her husband that she wouldn't want to know. Do you remember that?
Yes. Unreal.
I would be like, oh my God. I don't know
I would
if I could
know.
Say it. Yeah, I don't know if I would say no.
I would probably already know.
Yeah.
And I think she would, I don't know. I think she already knew.
Anyway, they talked about how Tori needs to start taking care of herself. Then we see Tori and Dean meet with Dr. Wexler together, and they start to talk about Dean transitioning into coming back home. And this is where it starts getting really into the show. She tells them that they're both going to have to start working on something very difficult for both of them. Tori is going to have to tell Dean how she feels, whether it hurts, whether it's hurtful, angry, whatever the feeling is, she's going to have to tell Dean as close to the moment that she's feeling it, and Dean needs to listen to her with empathy and compassion,
mm-hmm.
and not defend why he did it. And at that moment, Dean breaks down and starts talking about how much self-loathing he has inside and how he could never defend his actions. And Tori says she could never share her feelings with him because he had a nervous breakdown the night told her about the affair. And she's afraid that he, you know, if she shared her feelings, he, you know, it could send him spiraling back into another, you know, episode again.
Right.
And first of all, Dean says, you know, I could handle it. And Tori says she's pretty intuitive. And she's never thought for a second that he could, you know, go to that place. And that changed in a second. So, you know, she just couldn't chance it. And Dean says, well, we're sitting here in the room where I had my breakdown. And I remember looking at the crack in that window. And while we were sitting here waiting for the EMTs, I remember thinking, I've got a window of opportunity here, no pun intended, to kick out that window because it's already broken and just dive out of it.
Yeah, and Tori deserves for me to die?
Yep. The doctor says, really? Really, that's what you were thinking? And you didn't do it? And Dean says, I mention that because that's how far I had gone down the rabbit hole to leave this earth. And he actually said, you know, I'm going to stop reading, basically. He thought that Tori deserved for him to die as well. And his emotions were so raw at that point, and he was crying and had almost no breath in him. Mm-hmm. And they can't fake things like this. I mean, Tori may not
bad.
Be a great actor, but Dean is certainly not a great actor.
Oh, he looks bad, too. I mean, he looks bad. Like, just not sleeping, not, you know, just gross looking.
Yeah.
Just sad and depressed.
And so we got to see real, this was what I meant by real, down to the core, true emotional stuff. This is some of the most raw reality I've ever seen when we saw him actually admit to considering suicide. And Tori freaked out and was so upset. She didn't know if they had talked about this apparently at some point, and she didn't want this to be filmed. She was so concerned because she worried about what this could do to him personally and professionally. And she said, when I decided to do this and have my story be told about this whole process, the one thing, the only thing that I didn't want filmed was the fact that Dean, considered suicide that night, because I didn't want it to hurt him personally or professionally. And she was asking Dean, are you sure you want this filmed? Are you sure you want this, out there, and so they had to sit down with the camera crew and the producer, and they actually filmed them talking to the producer and saying, what's going to happen now? And he said, well, it's going to be a fast and furious 24 hours. We're going to have to, everybody's going to have to talk to everybody, and there's going to have to be some tests done to make sure that he's fully capable of going forward. And they did show on the screen later that he had been tested by an independent psychiatrist, and they had determined he was fully capable of continuing to film the show. But
he's committed to just being exposed, being raw, like every truth. Like he's all about truth right now, even if it's going to make him look bad later.
That was just one of the most raw, emotional things I had ever seen when I saw him break down like that, though.
Me too. Did you cry? Did you get all
that? Yes.
Yeah. I did.
I know. It was just so emotional.
And I was like, there is no way. And he just keeps looking at her like, I could not be more sincere. I've kept so much. I've been lying. What do you say? I've been lying all my life. I've been able to get out of things. I've been able to do things just by telling people stuff, lies. He's like, I don't know that I've ever told the truth. And he said, you deserve the truth.
And he said, I don't want to be that person that lies anymore. I just want to, stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so. Where did it go from there?
It's only two episodes, and listen to us.
I know.
Two freaking episodes.
So from there, I think they went, it showed him coming home, and he got home, and Tori was in the kitchen with all the kids, and little Finn had, remember the green icing he had all over his face and his hair?
Back from Minecraft, they were, yeah.
She was trying to make the cake for the birthday party, and Finn is in his little high chair, and he had green icing all over his face and in his little blonde hair. And Dean walks in and he picks the baby up, and Dean just pitches right in and starts like he's never been away. And the kids are all over him and so happy that he's home. And they're getting ready for this big 7th birthday party for Liam, and helps make the cake. The next day they have the birthday party, and Dean actually says, you know, I haven't seen any of Tori's friends since all of this started, and I don't know how they're going to react to me. And one of Tori's friends actually talked to him during the party, and Dean was saying, you know, how much he loved Tori and everything, and the friend told him, you know, show her, you know, treat her like you're still dating. Show her how much you love her, you know. And so when the party ended, they had this big, huge, bouncy house thing in the backyard, and it showed Dean laying in it, and all the guests were gone, and Tori's sitting outside the bouncy house. She had gone out to check on Dean, and she asked Dean if he was okay, and Dean said yeah. And she sat down outside the bouncy house, and Dean said, it was a great party. And he said, did you have fun? And she said, well, I don't know if I had fun. She said, I had a lot on my mind, but it was a great party. And so Dean told her that she looked beautiful, and she just kind of shook her head, yeah. And Liam ran out and got in the bouncy house with Dean and started bouncing on top of him, and he just looked really happy. And Dean asked Tori, you know, do you mind if I bounce around in here with him for a while? And Tori said, sure, go ahead. And Dean started playing with Liam in there, and then he came back to the window, and he told Tori, he goes, Tori, I forgot something. And Tori looked up at him, and he says, I love you. And Tori couldn't really say anything. She just shook her head again. And
you could see that she almost wanted to say something back, but then what do you say?
I know.
She just kind of, nodded like, okay. Like it's those moments where nothing you say is going to be, like it's not right. I think she's so freaking numb right now. You know, I think she loves him. I think she wants it to work, but I think she's just now starting to let herself realize that she's allowed to be hurt.
She went back inside, and that's when she said, you know, something about, I don't know if I can ever love him again. I don't know if love is enough. And I think she's starting to realize that, you know, the pain is so deep that she may not be able to get past it. And I think she's just starting to really look at her feelings now that he's home. She hasn't been able to really concentrate on her feelings because she's been so busy with the kids and just concentrating on being a mom and making sure everything is done. And staying busy and, you know, taking care of the 4 kids and just doing what she has to do, I don't think she's actually really concentrated on how badly she's been hurt until once he got home. And now she's able to let go a little bit, and I think she's starting to realize how deep it is. And, oh, my gosh, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of her emotions come out. You know, we saw a little bit of Dean's come out at the doctor's office. And I think we're going to start seeing some of Tori's, you know, start to come out. And it's going to be very hurtful to see.
Yeah, the next show, it showed, like, a whole bunch of different settings, and they were just crying in all those different settings. it's going to be a hard one to watch.
I know.
He's now back at home, and he's like, you know, we never talked about sleeping arrangements. And she's like, I just don't really think that we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish if we're sharing a room. And so he's in his own home in a guest room. And I'm proud of her for that. I really am.
I am too.
I mean, like, she's just telling him, you know, you're here, but you're not, like, here. So good for her. And that's got to be hard.
Because
she's a sex addict, which I don't put any weight into that. I just think that you're, you know, you have no self-discipline. It has nothing to do with being addicted to sex. It's that you feel entitled and you do what you want, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you buy into that whole sex addict thing?
No.
I don't either.
Come on.
I mean, I'm addicted to donuts or something, you know.
I'm addicted to reality TV.
I find out more than, you know, whatever.
I mean, we can all be addicted to whatever if, you know, if you don't have any self-discipline.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
self-discipline. That's all it is. And but he said, you know, he lied about everything to get whatever he wanted when he wanted it, and there were no consequences usually. So that's what I mean. I think that, you know, this whole sex addiction is actually, you know, just entitlement and no discipline. They don't feel the need to say no. He'll just lie his way out of it, like he always does. So
yeah, we'll see.
I just hope this poor woman does not find out that he's done this before.
Yeah, that would be the worst if.
Because you think it's been 7 years. You know, like in 7 years he's never done anything. You know what I mean? I don't think she would survive something like that.
Oh,
I'm not sure I would.
I so agree. She deserves so much better. I mean, she has been through so much. And her life has been, you know, such an open book. She's fought, you know, so many people saying, you know, that she was, you know, her life was handed to her on a silver platter because, you know, she was Tori Spelling, and she has fought for so long trying to say, you know, I am who I am, and that's what started her doing, you know, the reality shows, trying to have a voice of her own.
I love
trying
that
they
were doing the bed and breakfast thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
I did too.
Yeah, I was kind of sad that didn't last. That was such a good, I don't know, very homey, very, you know, I liked it.
I like Tori. I think she's a really nice, down-to-earth person, and I really hate that this has happened to her, and hopefully they can pull through it, but I think after seeing the first two episodes, the notion that this was dreamed up to continue doing a reality show, in my book, no way. I don't think that's even a possibility. I think this is all too raw, too real.
Right.
I feel so bad for her that she feels it necessary to put this out there.
This is her norm, though. This is the way her life has always been. Everything she's done since childhood has been on television or, you know, well, yeah, television. So for her to deal with something like this, this is her comfort zone. It's not something, it's like when something happens, what do? You talk about it on your show. That's your norm. That's your comfort zone.
Well, the reason she's had to do that is because if she doesn't, the tabloids run away with rumors of her life, you know.
Sure.
And so she feels like the only way she has a voice is if she does it herself.
I agree. the good news is that we're only two episodes in. This is really, like, this is, like, real-life good stuff. And it's Tori like you've never seen her, thank God. I hope you never see her again like this. But it's on Lifetime, and it's Tuesdays at 10. And they showed the first episode, like, at 8 o'clock, and then they showed it again at, like, 2 a.m., and then the second episode, like, at 10 and 11, you know, like, back-to-back. So I bet they're going to do the same. I haven't checked. I have DirecTV, but I haven't checked. But it's not too late to, like, catch up on it. But it's, like, seriously real reality.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch.
It is. It really is. And I can't imagine what the upcoming episodes are going to be like. I encourage people to watch it. I really do, because it's one of the, like I've said it already a few times, it's one of the most raw and real reality shows I've seen. But it is hard to watch. It tugs at your heartstrings a lot.
It really does. I'm not a huge Tori fan. I mean, I'm not a Tori fan. I just, you know, I'm not on that train, but I'll tell you what, I really feel for this woman. Like, as a woman, you know, watching another woman go through something like this and just trying to take care of her babies. And, I mean, she's got four children under the age of 7, and two are still in diapers, you know. I mean, it's that. Watching that, if you can forget the fact that it's Tori Spelling, you know, because then nobody's going to judge her for being like, oh, Aaron Spelling's daughter's doing a show about her, how miserable her life is. Just forget for one second that it is the Tori Spelling and see it as this woman struggling through life after being dealt these massive blows. I mean, it's compelling television.
So hard, you know, and what a one weekend tryst can do to two people and four innocent little children, you know.
You're going to make me cry.
It's true, though. You know, people often don't think about their actions, you know, in the heat of the moment. And
I know
it's all just fun at the time. And now we're seeing the repercussions of, you know,
yeah,
the few hours of fun and the destruction that those few hours of fun can have on so many lives.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
What do you think, Paul? Is Paul still with us? Are you going to watch it now?
I am still with you, and I've been listening the whole time, and here's what my take is. First of all, for Terry to take notes is tells me volumes, but I also get a sense that with all the reality shows out there that we've watched over time, I can tell that the realness of this is standing out above all things.
It's raw.
You made
that's like profound explanation. You're right. It's raw.
You made a point of addressing the skeptics wondering if this is just, you know, made for TV and scripted and all this, you address that skepticism by saying, watch it, this is not acting. If it were acting, you know, it's like they get Academy Awards.
She's not that good, in my opinion.
Now,
she's not good to do that,
I did wonder, because I didn't know, whether it was half hour, an hour long, but I've already answered that for me, because I found that episode 1 is repeating on Saturday at 11 a.m., let's see, noon Eastern. I got to do the time zone thing. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. So I've set my DVR, to record episode 1, followed by episode 2 on Saturday. Does that answer your question?
Yay! You're the man.
We got him.
Can I just say, like, I feel like, you know, we're going to be wrapping up soon, but I just want to say, I love your show. I've been a fan. I'm a fan. I'm, like, the first time I talked to you, Cherry and I have actually been talking, you know, like on Facebook and Twitter, you know, and stuff. But the first time I got like a response from Cherry, I was like, oh my God, just so freaked out. And to be talking to both of you, like, I've got Paul from Minnesota on the other end of my phone, and Cherry, it's like, and I just talked about, you know, a reality show with you guys. This is like, you know, every reality fan's dream. So this was great.
Oh,
thank you very much.
On.
That was awesome. I am first and foremost a fan, just like both of you. The fact that we somehow found ourselves somewhere where we say something and somebody hears it is a complete fluke as far as I'm concerned in my life. But this was a blast, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
Well,
I'm not even gonna sleep. I'm gonna have like the Joker permanent smile on my face right now.
Oh, he's so silly.
I'm sure Cherry and I both feel like it's unwarranted for you to feel like that because she and I have been doing it for so long, and certainly we always give credit to, you know, where credit is due to Ron, who befriended us, and we became friends with him, and that's why we do it. And I do remember enjoying being part of it, and I remember the first time I actually got to talk with Ron, I kind of felt the same way. It was kind of, wow, I'm actually a friend with this guy. But thank you for those words. You didn't have to. We didn't pay you to say that, did we?
Wait, I'm not getting paid for that? No, let me take it back.
The check went in the mail. No. Oh, girl, I love you. But we're going to have to make this a weekly thing now. We're going to have to have two
Tuesdays. You're reading my mind again. I was just about to say she's got to come back on.
I think what we can do over the week is maybe try to get in touch with Adam, too. I can only imagine what he would think about talking about this show. I mean, I don't know that he would enjoy talking about this show, though. I mean, because he loves her.
I was about to dial out and call him, and I thought, okay, wait a minute, it's 11 o'clock where he is. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
We might even ask Adam and Sarah.
I love her.
Teen Mom? No.
Yeah.
No. Sarah
Easy.
Pock.
The missus. Well, I mean, like, there's something. I'm coming back, so I appreciate that. That's just crazy awesome. Thanks. And you know, just kind of all you have to do, Cherry, is hang up the phone. Like,
well,
okay, that's enough of you. Click.
You can just hang with us.
I have a question, real quick though. Do you have Skype?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Maybe I will get Cherry to get you and I connected, and I can show you how that you can use your Skype to come in anytime you want to on Blog Talk shows.
Cherry and I talked about that. We weren't sure exactly how to get me in there, she's like Miss Resourceful. She's like, look, I'm just going to call in on my cell, and then I'll add a call. This is perfect. But, yeah, if we can figure out Skype, then that's one less thing, Cherry, you'll have to do on show day.
Here's what
you
and I can do.
Unless
you
want to call me, your phone probably. you don't pay for minutes, so okay.
We can get on the phone, you and I, and we can find an active Blog Talk show, and we'll find it, and I'll walk you through it. And once you learn how, it's pretty simple.
Great. yeah, you guys, you know, we'll work it out. That sounds great.
All right.
Paul, I have to ask, did you happen to watch Deadliest Catch yet?
I used to watch it all the time, but, you know, I'm like neck deep into Big Brother Canada 2. So,
I got to protect myself. I don't know what happened tonight, and I don't want to know until I watch it myself. So I'm just telling you.
I call this Deadliest Catch Second Generation.
Okay. Anyway, Cherry, to answer your question, I was able to watch the final two episodes of season 9, and I watched the first episode of season 10, and I have not watched the second part yet, but I'm slowly getting used to it and used to who these people are. I think that is a big part of watching these shows, is you already have come to know a lot of these people, and that's an added, you know, thing when you're watching these. So I'm slowly getting to learn who some of these people are, but yes, I did, and I'm catching up. I haven't watched the second part. I'm going to be watching this, the conclusion of part one and episode two, what, tomorrow? I forget.
Did you happen to see that, like, 2.5-hour special?
The only thing I found on demand was something about the Northwestern or whatever. It was a special about that particular ship and their family, but I was not able to find what you were talking about, and I was hoping that I would, and that's, maybe we can talk later and see if I can find what you're talking about, because I didn't.
Okay.
Maybe it's on the Discovery's website or something.
Or an hour, it might have been an hour and a half. It was a precursor to this season. I think it was an hour.
Well, I know, and you talked about that, and I wanted to watch that especially, and I couldn't find it.
It actually showed how they made their theme song.
And the other part want to find out is there are camera shots in rough seas that I am amazed that they're able to take, and it's got to be from another boat or it's got to be from a helicopter. I don't know what it's from, but I wanted to see that.
Oh, and that was another thing it covered, and I don't want to give it away because I'm hoping that you find this show.
I will be looking
to see it firsthand. And when you see what equipment they're using in season 10 to do their filming, you're going to be blown away. So I'm hoping that they will re-air that episode.
You're killing me.
Yeah,
now
that
I
was actually
it.
Something that I wanted to see, because you had mentioned it, and I thought, well, maybe it's in episode 1 of season 10, and it wasn't. So anyway, I'll work with you on that, or I'll try to look further and find that.
Watching Big Brother Canada. Do you guys want to chat about Big Brother Canada for a minute?
Well, I don't want to talk about tonight's episode because I want to watch it fresh for myself. Last night's episode was already spoiled by Suzette and Michelle Monday night from following the feeds that Heather was able to win the POV. That's basically last night's episode was about her winning the POV.
She saved herself. She was definitely going out.
Yeah, she was.
She was gone,
and
she won the POV and saved herself.
But what I also wanted to give you a short chance to make comments when we're running out of time here, but in your description, you said you talked about the challenge. So I am curious to hear how you're continuing to feel about this season's challenge, Sherry.
Oh, my gosh. It is one of the best.
Oh, my gosh. I love when things start with those three words. Go for it.
The challenge, incredible. And if you haven't started watching it, you've got to start. This season is like no other. it's free agents this season, and it's like on like Donkey Kong. I mean, nobody's safe. They cannot like team up and build these little
alliances
that's going to go all the way, because they have to draw cards, and they can go into.
I got it quickly, because I know I'm interrupting, but I'm looking at the clock too. But what I wanted to know is, are there any hookups? Are there any romances going? And has anybody been seriously injured?
Because
those challenges are death defying, in my opinion.
Somebody's already had their face split open and gone home.
Well,
there are hookups already going on.
That's the stuff I want to hear about. Challenge smellings.
Yep, it's good. I'm telling you, these kids, to be able to go on one of these challenges and get paid for it has to be every kid's dream. I mean, seriously, to go live in a mansion like they live in.
Oh, what country is it in?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I can't even remember right now. It's beautiful, though. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. Can't even remember where they're at right now.
It's not in the U.S.
It's on right now on my TV, too. I'm seeing Leroy right now. And I adore Leroy. He was one of the guys that was so sweet to myself and Jordan in Vegas.
And Michelle.
Costa. He's so sweet to everybody. But he stood and talked to me and Jordan.
All right, quickly. Just brought up Jordan, and I want to give us a chance at the end here to mention Jordan as well.
Yes, Jordan is selling some things from Ron's past that may be autographed, may just back in the day, collectible items. They're on eBay. If you go to eBay, click on Advanced Search and enter Search by Seller. Then enter Jordan Rad. You will be able to find the items that she is selling. Or you can go to the Rad Reality Show group page, and we'll have a link there to get you straight to the eBay, her eBay, and you can just click on see sellers' other items. And there's not a lot. I think there's only like 5 items listed right now, but I think she may be adding more at some point. But she is selling some of Ron's stuff, so just keep checking back, and I think she's going to be adding other items along the way. So, in Uruguay, that's where they're at.
Is it free agents?
Oh.
Yes.
Yep, there you go. It's
Punta
del Este in Uruguay, so there you go.
Thank you.
JTV said Chet is the one that went home with a lacerated chin?
Yeah, it was Chet. He, poor guy. I felt so bad for him. I mean, he had a pretty good size cut on his chin. And they offered him, you know, they said, we can, you know, put a bandage on it and you can continue the battle, or you can opt out and go home. And he said, you know, I don't want to take a chance on the splitting up, you know, even further and having an even larger scar on my face. ore getting more, you know, more dirt in it and it getting infected. He said, it's my face. I don't want to sound vain, but, you know, I like my face more than I like the thought of, you know,
right,
the money, and I'm opting out. So,
okay, guys.
I don't blame
okay.
him a bit. So, but we are running out of time. Kim, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I've enjoyed having
thanks,
you so Kim. Much.
Thank you
yay,
for asking
yay.
Me. Yeah, yeah.
And to everybody out there in our chat room, guys, thank you so much. We'll try to get to more shows than we covered tonight. I know we went a little bit long on True Tory tonight. We'll try to keep that a little bit shorter next week. But we are going to try to get Adam with us. Hopefully we can encourage him to join us and talk True Tory with us.
Everybody out there that's listening, too, let Adam know that you want to hear him on Rad Reality Show.
Yes.
With Cherry about True Tory. It's on you guys now.
Yes, we
go.
All have to let him know that we all want to hear his opinion. So,
heck yeah, he's the foremost reality authority. He actually met her, for heaven's sake. So,
yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah,
he was
a Tory brother house for her,
cool.
or for him. So.
Right. Let's get him. I challenge you all to that. Let's all do it.
There we go. Okay, we're running out of time. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. Everybody have a great weekend. First weekend in May. Take care, everybody. God bless. Here's Ron
Bye-bye.
To close the show.
Peace out.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Again, have a great weekend, everybody. Take care. Love yous. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
That's a wrap. Good night.
How much did that rock?
Awesomeness.
Oh, are we off?
We are now.
Okay, great. How cool. That was a lot easier.